ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரி ஹரி, ஹரி ராம ஹரி ராம 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 ஹரி ஹரி. So I like to ask a few questions and then share something. How many of us would love to give more support to our pujaris? Okay. Maybe I should just take it the other way around. How many of us would not like to give more support to our pujaris? How many devotees would not like to give more support to our pujaris? Anybody would like not to give more support? Okay, so it's everyone. Unanimous. How many devotees would like to dedicate their lives more in following specific instructions given by Srila Prabhupada? Okay. See, this is a funny line of question, isn't it? All right. How many devotees would like to do whatever is necessary that can minimize attacks from Maya? All right. Okay. Remember what you're agreeing on now. How many devotees find that from time to time they find their conscience shifting? Sometimes they're enthusiastic and sometimes not. How many devotees experience that? All right. Unanimous. Watch out now. You're raising your hands. How many devotees find it that when they chant together that their chanting is a little stronger? Some devotees may find chanting being distracted when they chant other devotees, but most of you find that to be the case. How many devotees would like to give a lot more attention to appreciating our deities, Radha Damodar? All right, watch out now. You're raising your hands. Jamavan is ready to run out the back door here. He said, what's happening now? He said, they don't preach like that in India, right? So, listen to what you just agreed on. You just agreed on, one, that you would like to give more support to the pujaris. You just agreed on, similar to that, that you also like to have more of a focus on the deities, appreciating the deities. You also agreed on the fact that you find from time to time shifts, sometimes more enthusiastic, sometimes less, sometimes perhaps not enthusiastic at all, which is common for being in the mature world. Also, you also agree that you would like to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions more emphatically. We're not fundamentalists. We know that there is the instruction and there is the essence and there is the details. And we were describing in Detroit, I'm in Philadelphia, there's what's called Artha Prada and Param Artha Prada. But even though this, he explains this, because he explains that the Artha-Prada are those things related to culture, history, politics, psychology. It's just material things. And the Param Artha-Prada is religion or transcendence, mysticism, things that are related distinctly to the spirituality. So the difference is that the Artha-Prada is constantly changeable. It's more or less details or secondary. And literally, in preaching, it involves strategy, and there must be ability to make changes, because sometimes you have to change some things so not to change them. Or sometimes we have to change so that we keep the essence coming through. And we remind ourselves, have to keep reminding ourselves of what that essence is. And that, so that we don't change the essence. So the Param Artha-Prada is those things that are not secondary, but are primary. And primary things should never be changed, because then we change our alignment, our commitment. We water down what has been given to us by our acharyas. And we see each acharya is arranging also according to, you know, desha kala patra, time, place, and circumstance. Like, there's so many things that Prabhupada gave a certain kind of emphasis on. And some of those things were distinctly because of his dealing a lot with Western devotees. And knowing that we were so much culture-less, trying to build up our character and our focus. Some things he did based on the fact that there's a different energy and different kind of mood in the West between how women and men associate and so many things. Some things he made some adjustments on in terms of the chanting, because our lack of ability to chant 64 rounds or etc. Some things he arranged due to trying to get his books out and get the holy name. He was quite a spiritual utilitarian. And so that was there. Or like this morning in the class, we're discussing how some things Prabhupada did to try to help the greatest number of people in the most sufficient or necessary way. But in the process, some people were sacrificed. Some pioneering, it brings sacrifices. Some of the things to get the books out gave a lot of people all around the planet a chance to hear the holy name or know about that Krishna's God, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But at the same time, some things were quite difficult, and some people in the process of trying to carry out prescribed duties had trouble. You say, well, they didn't do it expertly, they didn't do it right, and so they had trouble. That's there, but some people were trying to do right and they still had trouble. So preaching is like love, and it's also like war. In war, you realize that there will be some casualties. You realize some people will get wounded. At the same time, the general must keep arranging to try to minimize the wounds and to try to direct things so that the greatest number of people will get protection. And some people still will not get protection. In some cases, because the strategy is not sufficient. In some cases, because there are lack of taking advantage of the strategy. So Srila Prabhupada gave basic things for the kind of worldwide mission that he was propagating. And that's one of the beauties of Krishna consciousness, but it's also damn sure one of the difficulties. Because Prabhupada gave us a arrangement so we can be able to spread this mission all around the world, in all environments, give everybody some opportunity. So he did not give us, he was not just pushing a map. He was not just trying to deal with a very inner circle of disciples, of chelas, etc. He wasn't just trying to give us Krishna consciousness in a way that we could get electrocuted by giving us something that was real and very high, but in such a way that we could simply become sahajiyas or simply miss the point. Raga, why are you sitting like that? You know better than that. If you have bad legs or you have hurting, it's better to sit in a chair. But you have your feet like that, it's not a problem. So maybe find a chair for. So, and some people have issues that some people are saying now, Prabhupada only gave us the basic things and we have to go other places to get, you know, the higher nectar. And some people are saying that, you know, we're just mostly given by Prabhupada a way to engage in the propaganda and minimize the essence. Or we're given just a way to preach and not so much emphasis on internal development. Well, all of those things Prabhupada gave us, but he definitely had a certain emphasis. Emphasis in being a world acharya and trying to give as much as possible to as many people as possible. And so we see within the movement that there's so many different types of personalities. So in so many cases, if devotees weren't into devotional service, many of them would have nothing in common. Their backgrounds are so different. And we see how all over the world people pick up the Krishna consciousness. And that was Prabhupada's potency. But that was also the difficulty, because of spreading the mission to such an extent, then you get all kinds of complexities, all kinds of complications, difficulties as part of the mercy extension. And so sometimes the acharyas would just only have a few disciples. They would emphasize a very, very strict program that with the idea of having quality over quantity, and you make it, or if you can't, you can. And so there's the planting of the seeds, and there's also the harvesting. Krishna consciousness is so much planting seeds, and at the same time trying to reclaim souls. How both things go on are quite important. The planting of the seed should go on without bringing down those who are ready to go back, and the development for going back should not cause those who are getting the seeds planted to feel overwhelmed or intimidated. They feel Krishna consciousness is too difficult for them, it's beyond their means. And this is one of the reasons why we see the great acharyas have often come in with such a human quality. You look at their lives, their biographies, the struggles that they encountered, and so many things. Then it helps us to see, so it's possible to go through this thing, that thing, and go on with their Krishna consciousness. If everything they did was just completely, seemingly so easy, based on, it would seem overwhelming for us. It would seem, well, they're just niche citizens, how can we ever develop any real consciousness, because we can never be like them. We see Prabhupada's biography, which is life, we hear about his life, we hear how he was sick, he had heart attacks on the boat, his health was he's probably having sugar diabetes, had urinary also issues. He was trying to, when he first started trying to preach, over a year he couldn't even, he wasn't able to make a serious disciple, and financial issues were there, and legal issues were there sometimes. Immigration issues, Prabhupada was not allowed in the country in a couple of cases, and so many things. Typewriters stolen, things that he had that was most important for his service. There was some disturbances. And we look at Bhaktisiddhanta's life, Bhaktivinoda, we look at the acharyas, and we see something similar. But at the same time, they were coming to give us basically, the param artha prada, those things that are eternally beneficial. So all that was a preface. So after I finish talking, maybe me and Mother Cleaning may be the only ones left here. What am I getting ready to say? See, I've been very ill in many ways, much more than you realize. And my health is stabilized, but I'll be probably just medicating maybe for the rest, maybe the rest of the time in this body. But many realizations were coming. And I'm just excited, full of gratitude. And pretty much, if I had to leave this planet tomorrow, I would feel almost excited, happy, and ready to go. By Srila Prabhupada's blessings, mercy. So, I've taken this time, been hibernating for about a month and a half. And since we changed my whole, schedule from what I would have been doing during this time, so I didn't feel so obligated that I had to do other than try to focus on my health. And I felt like I did that. And I put that behind me. I went through a lot of things to try to, once and for all, to tackle this. It didn't fully work, all right. So now, finish with that chapter. Finish with worrying about the health, taking this medicine. I mean, I got a whole suitcase of herbs and medicine, and, So the real medicine is the holy name. And I'll finish some Rajima stuff I'm taking for the next week or two and finish. So, devotees writing me, or if anybody devotees writes you about my health, just tell them I'm going on with my service, despite the health. So I also had a chance, was just about finished with Beggar 3. And also the health issues helped me to focus in certain areas with some of the meditations. These meditations are most dear to me. They are my expressions for self-purification, my expressions for trying to connect deeper with Srila Prabhupada, and trying to be more chaste to his orders. And just today I got a call from one of the disciples in Mexico, and somehow they were singing Happy Birthday or something on the phone. But then they told me that they had just finished translating this Spiritual Warrior, I'm sorry, Beggar 2 into Spanish. And so that's another book that'll be printed soon in another language. And I guess they did that as a Vyas Puja offering. Some of you noticed a few weeks I've been here, my beggars have been taking a certain kind of mood. So, sometime back, I had asked the brahmacharis, which I rarely do because we really kind of just merge everything in, as a khichdi. Although, like I said this morning, in some ways the brahmacharis may suffer from that because we're having them to participate so much with the whole mood of everything. And normally, in a strict Vedic situation, brahmacharis wouldn't be so much into attending weddings and so much with children in so many ways, etc. But we're trying to focus more on a family and a community rather than just being yogis in an ashram. We're trying to access the more of an environment that will protect everyone. Just like we think about it, we often confuse what we are as Krishna conscious devotees. We are not trying to be Vedic. We're not trying to be Indian. We're not trying to be accessing antiquity. We don't really care about antiquity or modernity. We're not interested in trying to smash, everything that's modern to give light to what is ancient. We're not trying to be Americans. We're not trying to be Europeans. We're not even really wanting to be even to be so much women or men. We have all of these packages. And this is all what we are using in this lifetime, and other lifetimes we use other packages, and etc. So what we have is a reality. It's a temporary reality. We may use find some ways to preach based on our European or American or Indian body or consciousness, but it's all secondary. It's all part of secondary also. We may have to do certain things based on etiquette, based on the fact that we're in a male's body or a female's body, but it also is all secondary. not what we're trying to really to be or to hold on to. And so what we're really trying to do is we're trying to connect more with the eternal culture of love. And that culture of bhakti is constantly renewing itself. And so our Krishna consciousness is based on how we can keep that renewing, connect with it, and maintain it, and become that. So what we do, in terms of preaching strategy, in terms of rituals, in terms of what we honor, should be based on what's going to accelerate the culture of love. And so there's some things that, you know, are part of our basic movement that are distinctly American. And some of those things are good, and some of those things are disturbance. I mean, many of our projects have been hampered because as we started the project, we basically, as Americans, started it and maintained too much American consciousness, and it interfered for quite a while. For quite a while, France, the Caribbean, and places like that, they weren't getting off the ground. Because we were not understanding the mentality of the people, and we were forcing American ideas and conceptions on people and calling it Krishna consciousness. Some things we do in Krishna consciousness is Gujarati culture. Some things we do is some South Indian culture, etc. Which can be used, but is not necessarily the eternal culture of devotion. And so we use whatever can help us in being able to become pure agents of Krishna. It's like when we had the wonderful performance of the children at Mother Trini's house. And I was saying how wonderful it was that these children are doing this little, you know, we can honor them in this sort of concert, in this concert. And some of them are playing, you know, the flute, and some playing the keyboards and this, that. And one may think, but what has that got to do with Vedic culture? Nothing. We don't care about Vedic culture. We care about Krishna consciousness. And where Vedic culture can help Krishna consciousness, then we're for them. I mean, it's not really a big thing whether you eat spaghetti or you eat sabji. It's not that one is more Krishna conscious than the other. It's a matter of you offering it nicely, preparing it nicely, offering it nicely, and using the nourishment to do the service. It's not that it's more spiritual that you eat khichdi, you know, rather than, something else. I don't know, what else? Lasagna, yeah. You know the food. So, if you are rather cooking lasagna nicely for Krishna, and if those you're cooking for are accepting that and wanting that, then wonderful. Wonderful service. So, you see where I'm going, maybe. Well, I'm already there. So, some time back, I had asked the brahmacharis so that we maintain a certain mood, atmosphere, certain protection, certain remembrance, that they, pretty much come to the programs every morning. And that they shouldn't think that the householders should have the same standard that they have. It's not necessary. Especially in the case where there are children. Because where we have children, we have a direct responsibility to see that as we're trying to engage in the mission, trying to carry out our duties, that our duties fully encompass what is beneficial for the children. And like in householders, we used to do it in the older days. They try to come to every program, and they bring the kids, and the kids wouldn't get proper sleep, and so many things. And we're considering this as Krishna conscious, that we, you know, drag the kids through everything and just have them watching or sleeping and whatnot and not have facilities for them or not take proper care of their concern. Like this morning we were discussing, so some of the children became, you know, bitter from some of these things. There's a certain amount of love they need directly and care they need directly from the parent, and nobody can replace that. And then another time I asked the managers that when I come here to Gita Nagari, it's after usually going around for weeks or months, doing any average anywhere from 3 to 6 programs a day. And when I travel like that, it's intense because I'm in every program in the morning at the temple, giving the classes, and then going out and doing the preaching, etc. And then moving on to the next place. And like in Africa, not only that, but I do every morning Mangala Artik myself, because there's more of a kind of a hero worship there. And I want the devotees less thinking that Guru is a person who is a hero type or fanfare worship. But you honor Guru because he honors his Guru and because he honors the Lord. And so you serve Guru because he is reminding you about the service to Krishna. So unless I was sick, every morning I would do personally the Mangala Arati at every one of the temples the whole time that I'm in Africa. So I asked the leaders here if they could try to be more available for attending the programs, especially Mangala Arati, because basically what leaders do, others will follow. And that I would try to come here more, they could do that, because then I could use this more as a place where I could do the books, focus on visionary things, and literally just try to catch up more and connect more with the disciples all around the world, because, you know, now it becomes more and more wonderful, but more difficult because everybody's on email, and so everybody's writing, you know, at the drop of a coin, and so fast. And because there's more attached on my more my attacks, that devotees just kind of need more care in general. And I explained that if they couldn't do that, I would probably come here less, because it's not a good example if I'm here and I'm not more available, in the sense of that if the leader's not coming, then gradually there'll just be less and less attendance at the program. So because of this hibernating from my health thing, you know, I had full chance to look a lot closer at being away, and most of the time, you know, I was available more on some weekends, most of the time, and I come in here and now and then for the more program for the Archik, etc. But it wasn't a focus. The focus was not to come, and then sometimes to come. Focus wasn't the last month and a half to be available, but the focus was not to come, and sometimes to come. So I have tried to study the mentality more of the devotees in general and my disciples in particular. And I'm noticing that there's not a whole lot of people in ISKCON in general, and very few of my own disciples, here as well as around the world, who can maintain a strong consciousness without having a strong regulation. There's some people who can do that. Some people who can just do everything at home, and they can maintain quite strong consciousness. They have their own deities, they chant their rounds, they regulate it, get up at a certain time each day, and they have a regulated schedule, and they go on. But not many people can do that. In most cases, what happens is that you get weaker and weaker and weaker, and it settles in, and you start accepting like that because you have begun to imbibe and nourish certain aspect of mixed devotion, and you've accepted such a lifestyle, and it's become you. So therefore, we have more attacks by Maya because we don't have the strength to fight off a lot of the Maya, because we're not having our weapon strong enough. And so when Maya attacks, we just get beat up. Because what happens then, we're chanting our rounds all during the day, or we go through the day without hearing, you know, without reading sufficiently. And then after a while, your immune system gets weaker and weaker. And although for your body and mind it may be a little more convenient at first, because you get a little more sleep, but if we took rest earlier and realized that this is what we're going to do and be about that, then we focus our whole life around that. Now, because so many of us don't come to programs sufficiently, we focus our life in very scattered ways. And so when we do have to come, it becomes almost like an imposition, because we're used to staying up to 11, 12 o'clock, doing this, doing that. And then what happens is that we are genuinely tired. Or it becomes work and difficult for us to do some of the exact things that will keep us out of Maya. We start doing less and less, and then we get into Maya. It's just that simple, but just that difficult. That just the things that can protect us from the Maya, we are doing less and less, and then we begin to accept a subculture of devotional service. Now you can go to many temples, and there can be sometimes almost over 100 devotees in some projects. Sometimes in the morning program, you'll find 4 or 5 people. And that's it. Now, are the majority of those people in good consciousness? And the majority of those people, Nisringa Tirtha, you can go to sleep. Why don't you just lay down all the way, and we'll get a fan, and we'll fan you. And then we'll finish the class afterwards. You're tired? You just lay down? Because you're one of the ones who need to hear this the most. Because you are slacking, getting slack. Maya's right around the corner. So, does that mean that all of those people who didn't show up, that they're going to have a strong Krishna conscious experience the rest of that day? Does it mean that they're going to chant good rounds? Does it mean that they're going to read? Does it mean that they're going to have the strength to fight all the Maya they have to deal with? In most cases, not. Some cases, they don't have a choice. You know, some of you who have children, you have these responsibilities, you don't have a choice. It's difficult most of the time. Because your life does have to be different. It has to be regulated around feeding your kids, taking care of them, their schedules, etc. We're not so much talking about you. Because as we do what is necessary, we will also have sufficient credits and strength that will complement what you do, what you're struggling with. But now it's like we're cheating so many of you who are not able to come to programs. We're cheating you by those of us who can not coming. And so therefore what we offer to you is less than what we should be able to offer. Like in this article that I did in the some of you saw Valentine's Day, we had an article in the Washington Post and an article in the Philadelphia paper. And so in the Philadelphia paper, both came on Valentine's Day. So they're asking me about gifts. And I explained the greatest gift somebody can give their beloved is to give themselves, is to upgrade their own character. And so as they upgrade their own character, then they offer themselves, they offer more themselves, they're bringing to that relationship so much more. Explaining to the karmas, you can give gifts and this and that, candy, you can buy this, buy, but what is that? But the greatest gift is for somebody to improve on themselves so that now they can offer that to their partner, and that is best. So what we offer to each other, you know, is very important. And people are different, you know. As we said, some are with kids, and some people are more sickly, etc. But a lot of us are not like that. And we are hurting and weakening the atmosphere, weakening ourselves, causing ourselves to experience more Maya, and being less of a community to help strengthen those who can benefit by a much stronger environment. You realize if Bhakti John is up in the ashram and he's sick, and we have strong programs going on here, even though he's not attending, do you realize he benefits from that? Because he's going to have to walk into the environment, walk into the force, or walk into the energy of whatever is there that is going to be a part of his consciousness. So even though he may not be able to come to hear class, or he may not be chanting his rounds so strong that time, but the fact that 30 people, 15 people, 50 people are chanting strong rounds everyone that those who are or are not will benefit from it. The fact that 20 people are listening, either hearing class or doing some serious reading or some serious study, that those who are not so studious, those who are not so able to understand what they're reading, they will benefit by the fact that there are those who are pursuing. We're all locked in much more sometimes than we realize or want to accept. We're all in this together. And so that is part of the power of devotion. That's part of the dangerous side. If the atmosphere is weak, then we all get affected by that. You've seen it. You've seen it here. You've seen it in other places. It's other places you go. I see it all the time. You know, when I'm out there and I'm moving from temple to temple every couple of days, it's like going into a whole new environment every time, every temple, because the environments are totally different. Some places it's very surcharged. Other places it's like a drain just every hour being there, because the devotees have become so dull, so faithless, becoming so selfish and not being able to support each other, understand each other's issues, understand each other's successes or failures. And just thick. And in some places, there's so much sadness that practically everybody's crying but not showing it. And pain and anxiety. Especially in places where, you know, the guru has fallen or the leader has fallen. It's like, you know, coming to a zone, a place that's just been bombed. And the devotee's just wounded and just hanging on. You see, deathly. So, I want to just read and let Prabhupada do speak out. And then I want to suggest something. Maybe I'll make the suggestion first. My suggestion is that seeing that most of us cannot maintain a strong consciousness without fixing ourselves strong, especially in chanting our rounds. One of the most important things about the Mangala Arati for most of us is that it allows us now chance to chant our rounds together, chant our rounds in the morning time, allows us a chance to get a head start on Maya. Some of you, as I'm talking, you're so uncomfortable because you're so uncomfortable because you become so fixed in a lower standard that when we start talking about such things, which is one of the most basic things of Krishna consciousness, it gives you a problem. That is what has happened. The basic things of chanting. Do you realize in our GBC, this is embarrassing. Do you guys, one of the most difficult things we've had passing in the last 4 years in our GBC meetings is emphasis on everyone chanting their rounds and attending the program. It will never pass in our GBC body at this time. Do you realize that? And now you can see why so many times people fall to weaknesses, because some of the most basic things, you spend hours and hours in talking about all kinds of aspects of the philosophy, hours and hours about money arrangements, hours and hours about management, and when it comes to trying to have a resolution that the leaders are to chant 16 rounds with the devotees, around the devotees, we are never able to pass it in the last 4 or 5 years. One of the issues that affected the eastern, the zone of Hare Krishna is that practically none of the presidents and the sannyasis regularly would attend the program. And some years back there was an issue about that there's going to be great trouble in this zone. Because it just became a thing that, you know, you just justify that whatever's going on. But what happened is then majority of people doing that get weaker and it caused others to get weaker. And after a while, what happens? As we're going to read from a few letters of Prabhupada says, then more sex agitation and so many other things come in, more doubts, more fears. All of these things begin to set in. Prabhupada gave this for some reason, stressed it for some special reasons. It wasn't just something in passing that he considered. There was very specific reasons why it's important. Now all of you mostly raise your hand that when you are chanting your rounds with devotees, it's stronger. When you're not, you have more problems. Most of you raise your hand. You want to support the pujaris. How do you think a pujari feels? Pujari is doing that service and looks out at an empty temple. Huh? I think the majority feels, the majority wakes up at 3:30, in some cases, to wake the deities, and they come there and do the offering, they look up, and there's an empty temple. Then they go, do the deity service, and everything is supposed to be centered toward the Lord, here the Lord is in His incarnation. So we can develop the mood of being workaholics. And after a while we forget that who we're serving. Now I'm not being fanatical. I realize that, yes, that this is not for everybody that I'm saying. But what I'm saying is for most of us, especially those who don't have children. Distinctly for you. We keep trying to put emphasis that we want a extremely surcharged environment that is extremely refreshing, protective. We want an environment that when we are here, that the miracle is the ordinary. That constantly there's cleansing, constantly there is a reminder that we're in Dham. To the point that we begin to have all kinds of powerful internal experiences due to the fact that we have not played into being in Kali Yuga, into Pennsylvania, but we are here, and this is like an oasis, or like an embassy within a sovereign jurisdiction, but it has its own level of consciousness. We should create Gita Nagari in such a way that anybody who comes here feels healed. And all of us who are here feel grateful that somehow that we can be available for each other, somehow that we have little, but we go on. Certain zeal and enthusiasm. Not an environment where we begin to settle in and accept certain lifestyle conditions where we minimize the reading, we minimize hearing, we minimize seeing the deities, we minimize chanting strong rounds. The rounds is so important. And as you all said, most of you, if you're not chanting in congregation, you're not chanting early, you have a problem. And so then what do we do about that problem? So this is what I'd like to offer. In Krishna consciousness, it's all voluntary. But at the same time, in the cases where you accept a guru, then you're obliged. You're obliged to lead your life basically on the instructions of your spiritual master. And not to do it is an offense. Every day we chant the 10 offenses to the holy name. One of the offenses is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Spiritual master should not give any orders that's beyond our ability to accomplish, to do. Otherwise, where's the love? Where's the kindness? You know, where's the mercy? But where is the mercy if the spiritual master accepts mediocrity, sanctions it, reinforces it, then such spiritual master will simply become an ass. Forgive me for speaking hard. But such spiritual master will simply become like the environment. And will not be able to give much because will simply become dull and become captured by the mixed devotion and then will be a cheater. Because instead of giving, it'll be taking from people, draining people's energies, using them, free labor, taking their love and not being able to return more love than what they give. Because the master is not only supposed to return the love, he's supposed to give more than he receives. Otherwise, it's thievery. Because it all belongs to his guru, it belongs to Krishna. So he should always be wanting to give more and more to his guru. And not to take some of it and then pass a little bit on to his guru. If one does that, then Krishna's agents will arrange for that person to have experiences based on that level of consciousness. If someone is taking and claiming is theirs, they get electrocuted. And Krishna says, oh, so you want to claim fame, responsibility for this, that? You want to do things based on your idea? Then you deal with the consequences based on your capacity. And who's strong enough to defeat Maya based on their own capacity? But as Krishna comes through, then there's a difference. So, what I want to offer here And as we will share it in other environments where I have specific responsibility, especially with disciples mainly, is that instead of our consciousness of not coming to the program and sometimes coming, we want everyone who is not sick, who is not working, everyone who does not have children, to come to the programs every day. And I will be here with you every day. If you are sick, it's a different thing. You have children, it's a different thing. Then we are going to do this part for you. If you're sick and you have children, or your situation doesn't allow it, then we're going to build up our strength more so that you can benefit from that. Now, if you're living in a temple, or you're in a category where you don't have children, and you're not working, and you can't follow this, then no problem. Get a job. Don't fake it. And if you don't, will you get sacked? You better believe it. So even materially speaking, if you have a job and you decide not to come and some days to come, how long are you going to have that job? If you have a job and you decide that half the time you don't come, how long are you going to have that job? So if you can't do it for Krishna, do it for the external energy. Don't live in the temple or live a life so-called of simplicity where you don't have children and you don't have job and you can't and you're not sick. Now we say, well, our bodies are weak. Yes. Even how healthy we are, we have a weak body. But we eat, we sleep, and in many cases we mate, and if we want to go someplace that we want to go, we will arrange to do it. So if you got to sleep 8 hours later in the day because you came to Mangala Arati, then do it. And let us know. We'll work your schedule around that. See, it is a fact that if we take rest before 10 o'clock, the hours from 10 to 12, 10 to 1, are much more rejuvenating and more powerful than many hours that you get later. So some of us, we're so much into taking rest around 11 and 12, and so surely we're tired. Even after you sleep 7 or 8 hours, you're still tired. But if we're more in the habit of taking rest earlier, then we can be able to attend things and still be able to maintain basic health, sleep, etc. It is a fact that devotees don't sleep enough. We say 6-7 hours. Most devotees can have trouble with that, especially if the quality of chanting is not deep. If you're sleeping 6 or so hours and you have deep chanting and you're not stressed, then the body rejuvenates itself. So if you take the 2 hours for chanting and the 6 hours for rest, you put 8 hours together, you minimize stress, then you have pretty much healthy sleep time. And if the mind is not so agitated, then you get quality sleep when you go to sleep. But sometimes we're going to sleep, we're not getting quality sleep because we're not resting so well. We're stressed out during the day. We chant 4 rounds. And so the body is literally physically tired. So it becomes a problem. But if we have decided that we're going to take rest at 9 o'clock, 9:30, whatever time you need, 8:30, 10 o'clock, you come for the Mangala Arati, you chant your rounds, and then you do what you have to do. The first month, it will seem like tax. Even though Prabhupada has so emphatically demanded, not asked, not requested, demanded that we do this. Second month or so, it'll seem that we're just doing it out of duty. And then later, once it's become a part of us again, it's just like brushing your teeth, washing your face. You work your schedule around these basic things. But look how much we have begun
to work our schedule around not doing these things, and we have to do it. It's like an imposition. Like today, I'll go over. Today I'll do this. Guru is going to be there today. I heard he's going to be in there today. I'll go. So this is what is happening to some of us. And then we go through the day and we don't finish our rounds. And then there's a problem. If you have no problem in not coming to the program and being able to chant good rounds, this doesn't apply to you. Be honest with yourself. If you have no problem in chanting good rounds without coming, chanting early rounds, then this doesn't apply to you. So think about that. If you find that when you're not chanting in the morning, chanting early, that you have more trouble with your rounds, then this distinctly applies to you. Prabhupada said that we came to Mangalji, we should fast. And he even emphasized that even if we were sick, we just come and sit on the floor. I mean, this is how much he saw that as we begin to minimize these things, we minimize something else, something else, something else, and after a while, what's left? Most of us are extremists. So we have trouble with healthy moderation. We have trouble. The idea of, earlier we were mentioning that, why don't we have a standard here, pretty much where devotees come to Mangala Arati 3 or 4 days a week. But we have the tendency that unless there is more regimentation, most of us, we have trouble. Some of those who are more genuinely disciplinical, it's not necessary in their lives. They will just do what is healthy, and when they see that it is not working, they change. To be honest, and change. But that's rare. So I'll come out of my hibernation. Actually, I came out really 2 days ago. I finished taking the medicine I'm taking. And then I'll just take it all and throw it away. I maintain something, some basic things that's helping, so-called maybe, or just teasing things from getting worse. And when I'm here, I'll come for the morning program so that I can be here chanting with you. It's not, you know, just a matter of going through the ritual, but it's a matter that we're calling on the Lord's name. We're asking Him to come into our lives and protect us and to help us. So if we keep doing that whimsically, we keep working the Lord's name into all the other things, then no wonder we're experiencing so much duality in our consciousness. No wonder we're becoming dull about Krishna consciousness. No wonder we have trouble trying to read and understand and appreciate. Because we're less and less calling for Krishna to come into our hearts. Krishna knows your legitimate reasons that you have. Lord Chaitanya knows. Lord Chaitanya knows legitimately that you have children. You have this level of sickness. Krishna knows genuinely that you are not coming, but you are chanting and you are regulating. But He also knows how in most cases that when we don't do that and we work through we just work around other stuff. And then we go through the day wondering, you know, why we're so disturbed, so depressed, so anxious, so this, so that. So we want to send out the message that where devotees are living in the temples, where they are trying to live this life of simplicity and renunciation, and they don't have children, sort of responsibilities, that the arrangement should be attending in some exceptional situations where you're sick or some emergency or you're extremely tired, but the mood is that attendance is there. Not that we don't come, and then sometimes we come and we work it in. But that we attend, and that when we are not able to come because we're sick, some emergency was there, some issue was there, something happened that somehow we just couldn't manage. We were extremely tired that day, but the issue is that we attend. And if we focus like that, then we work our whole lives around it, and we have less of these issues where we are not able to come because we are annoying, and others are annoying. You know, don't call me at 11:30 because I'm asleep. I'll be asleep. There's an emergency, that's different. If we're having a meeting, we know, okay, it's time to stop the meeting because it's 8:30 and, you know, people have to get back where they have to go and get themselves together and take rest, etc. That is what I'm saying. Now let's see what Srila Prabhupada is saying. My concern is insignificant. Here's a letter to Sudama, 1972 in Bombay. And if you simply keep to our standard program, don't try to invent anything, roadshow or yoga village. That means chanting daily 16 rounds, rising early, attending Mangal Aarti like that. If this program is strictly maintained amongst all the devotees, they will remain pure. And if preaching is pure, automatically leaders, managers, funds, everything will be given profusely. You want to know how to make more money for the project. You want to know how to have more facilities. Everything will become more will be given more profusely without any doubt. So Prabhupada is saying, not that it can't happen, will happen. He says, profusely, without any doubt, that such things will develop. Here's a letter to Kishori, Bombay and Bombay, 25th December 1972. You are a leader, Kishore. I'm not exactly sure who that is. You are a leader, so if you are enthusiastic, then just notice how uncomfortable so many of you feel. Just think about it. As you hear what Prabhupada is saying, ask yourself, why are you feeling so uncomfortable? Ask yourself that. Been devotees for so long, why are you feeling so uncomfortable? Ask yourself. What Prabhupada is saying will help protect, guarantee our ability to be freed of the Maya, to accelerate our devotion. Why we feel so uncomfortable? You ask yourself. And it is, you are a leader, so if you are unenthusiastic, then all the others will remain also. If you are enthusiastic, then all the others will remain always enthusiastic. That is your greatest qualification. And it is an easy thing to maintain your enthusiastic behavior if you yourself and the rest of the devotees under your protection always without fail chant minimum 16 rounds daily. Rise early in the morning for Mangal Aarti. Take bath. See, remember, keep in mind now, why we have this Mangal Aarti. I mean, why this Brahma Murti period is so important. We know that as the day goes on, different influences, different devas are having more responsibility. We understand this is the most auspicious time of the day. So imagine what's happening for those of us who are constantly sleeping during that most auspicious time of the day. And Krishna knows that we don't have to miss that particular time. Then why should Krishna give us so much blessings, realization, when he sees that he's arranged certain things and we're not honoring it? As he's given us according to our surrender, and he sees that we can honor such things, but we don't, then why should he pour his mercy, unlimited mercy on us? We're making a statement ourselves by saying, Krishna, I don't want that mercy during that part of the day. I'll just do what I can later. Rise early in the morning for Mangal Aarti. Take bath, cleanse everything nicely. Go out for preaching. You better believe, doing this is more difficult for me than it is for you now. Because, you know, one has to also rejuvenate themselves. You know, one has to do introspection, not run around, you know, like a monkey, temple to temple, place to place, and program to program, and not have a chance to reflect. It's going to be harder for me to do that, do this now than it is for yourself. But because of my love for all of you and seeing what can happen and also seeing what we are ahead for in the near future, realizing a wonderful door is opening up, a wonderful door for acceleration. but also a chance to get wounded, like for Maya, like anything. It'll be easier for me just to do a song and dance, come here, and kind of just see what's going on and not see it and not see it, and just feel, well, those who can't make it, you know, so be it. Some of you drop out, you fall into Maya, mainly because you're not chanting good rounds. Just let it happen. But then I'm also held accountable for that. Rise early in the morning. In this way, if you stick tightly to the basic principles of devotional life as talked out for us by our great predecessors, then always you will be feeling transcendental ecstasy of enthusiasm. That is Krishna consciousness. It is very simple. Letter to Gopijana Vallabha, Vrindavan, September 1994. So I may chase all of you away. If my concern is trying to protect you, trying to offer what Prabhupada said, chases you away, so be it. Huh? So be it. Prabhupada sometimes himself said we have to boil the milk a little bit. We make so many devotees, so much happening. Why do we know so much and act so poorly? We chase you away because of emphasizing more about these kind of things. So be it. Go. Literally, if we chase you away because of that, then what can we say? As Prabhupada himself, either the lying or he's telling the truth, he said if we do this, then there will be more auspiciousness. There will be more opulence. There will be more facilities. There will be more protection. There will be more devotion. I rather trust Srila Prabhupada. This is the duty. You must see that they strictly follow the regulative principles. The four prohibitions, as well as the devotional practices of Srila Prabhupada, is equating this on the level of seeing that they follow the four regular principles along with the devotional practices of rising early, taking morning bath, putting on tilak, attending Mangalarti, chanting japa, 16 rounds, attending Bhagavatam class. This is the duty of all my initiated disciples, whether they are big or they are small. Actually, in our movement, there is no such thing as big or small. Everyone is a devotee. Everyone is expected to follow the devotional practices. Letter to Yadavar in Bombay, 1974. Please continue chanting 16 rounds, rising early, attending Mangalarti and classes, following the four regular principles. By following this simple formula, as I have given from the very beginning, your life will be completely free from anxiety. Prabhupada is saying, I've given you this formula. He's categorizing it as an actual formula, telling us what the effects will be if we follow the formula. If we don't, then we get the other effects. Letter to Dayananda, New York, July 7, 1972. Just reading my books will help you. Philosophy must be there. But if you do not also apply the philosophy by participating in all temple affairs like rising early, keep coming to rising early, rising early, rising early, attending Mangalarti, performing devotional service, then simply learning the philosophy will have no effect. Letter to Karanda, Bombay, December 22nd, 1972. So if it's too difficult and you have that, you know, you're in that category where you're not sick, don't have children, you're not working, then you should work. Because then you have a legitimate reason for not attending things. And Krishna will know that. Krishna is looking at the article, looking at the situation. And he sees, oh, so you can't attend because you have children. You can't attend because you're very sick that day with flu, with this or that. You're not attending, but you are rising early and you are having a regulated program. And Krishna sees it. But if we're not in that category, then it means Krishna also sees that I've given you rather decent health. I've given you certain freedom, and you're not using it. And therefore, we will have trouble trying to grow in our Krishna consciousness. We don't use what Krishna has given us. Why should he give more? So my point, Prince Prabhupada speaking, that the regulative principles must be followed by everyone. Otherwise, their enthusiasm dwindles. And I've seen this among some of our leaders. I've seen cases where people stop doing rounds with the devotees, and they just get weaker and weaker and weaker, and they're just going on the existing based on past credits. And just around the corner from deviation, or have deviated and just hiding it. There is some symptom of missing the point. Prabhupada says, the enthusiasm will dwindle, and they will again think of sex and become restless, and so many problems are there. There is some symptoms of missing the point. The point is to be engaged in doing something for Krishna, never mind what is that job. But being so engaged in doing something very much satisfying to the devotee that he remains always enthusiastic. He will automatically follow the regular principles because they are part of his occupational duty. By applying them practically as his occupational duty, he realizes the happy results of regulative principles. So the future of this Krishna conscious movement is very bright. So long as the managers remain vigilant that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, and that they are rising early. So you see, by not doing what I'm doing now, I've been cheating Prabhupada also. By kind of seeing and not seeing what was going on, I've been deviating. By seeing some of you get weaker and not stressing this more, like a deviation on my part. The Prabhupada has made this so emphatic, and so of just not wanting to agitate your personalities and your comfort zone, there's like a deviation on my part. And so if I want to serve my guru better, and see the disciples as a flower that belongs on my guru's garland, then I must try to render what he is saying and let the consequences be the consequence. And you know what I say in one place, I say in all environments. I'm not just saying it because you're here, and most of you are just because I'm your GBC or I'm your guru. What I say here, I say any place. Vrindavan, Mayapur, GBC meeting, I say any place. If I'm wrong, I want to be corrected any place. He will automatically follow the regular principles because they are part of his occupational duty. By applying them practically as his occupational duty, he will realize the happy results of the regular principles. So the future of this Krishna conscious movement is very bright. So long the managers remain vigilant, that 16 rounds are being chanted by everyone without fail, that they're all rising before 4 in the morning, attending Mangala Arati, our leader shall be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. They should try always to generate some atmosphere of fresh challenge to the devotees, so that they will agree enthusiastically to rise and to meet it. That is the art of management, to draw out the spontaneous loving spirit. Is Arctic or you're open? Is Arctic now? In 10 minutes, what is it? 10 minute Arctic? So we stop and have Arctic.
What is it, Jen, please? You read these last two letters. So if you think about it, what we're really doing, in one sense, like we are still the pioneers. What we're really trying to do is create an atmosphere so our children can really be Krishna conscious. So one way to take this emphasis now, or reclaiming these things, is so we can guarantee more that our children who will inherit an atmosphere that will be surcharged. Otherwise, if we're weak, if we're having so many difficulties, our children are sensitive, and they're going to experience directly and indirectly the effects of that. So we can see in making the sacrifice as also as an offering to their future. And we're an outrageous bunch here in Gitanagari, so we are outrageous in Krishna's way. There will be wanting more and more strength and empowerment, and so we do the things necessary to do that. So last here says, we should not be very much after conference and become complacent of self-contented. There must always be some tapasya, strictly observing the regulative principles. Krishna conscious movement must be always a challenge, a great achievement to be gained by voluntary desire. Dai, Sisi Vahara Damodar, Harakala Chandri, Shringade Bhagavan Ki. So if you big managers now try to train up more and more some competent preachers and managers like yourself, forget the centralization and bureaucracy. So I'm just going to end with these last two because it's already right after 8. This is a letter to Hayagriva, 1972. Please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter of January 20th, 1972, along with cow protection reports. I am very pleased to hear that you are keeping things very nicely, and yourself, you are determined to follow strictly the regulative principles. I am very glad to learn that the regulative principles are being strictly followed, otherwise we shall fall down, become victims of Maya. Yes, as in the case of Ranadira, please institute these most important points of attending Mangalarti and chanting 16 rounds. These are the most important points of Krishna conscious process. I was very emphatic. But make it so that people may not think too repressive, that they will not go away. Impressive but not repressive. That is a system. These regular principles are our life. If they are not respected, we will fall down from the standards, and the whole thing will be finished. As GBCs, you should see the standard is perfectly maintained, and that deity worship is perfectly done. Then Krishna will give us all protection. So Prabhupada said, by doing like this, Krishna will give protection. Neglecting the principles means neglecting Krishna's order. So you are one of the chief men of this institution. Kindly maintain your behavior to the standard so that others will follow, and the whole thing may go on nicely. It was said about Lord Chaitanya, Apani Achari Prabhu Jiva Sikha. That is, he personally used to practice himself the injunctions, and then he used to teach others. This is our principle. Unless one is perfectly behaved persons, he cannot teach others. My only request is that all the GBC members should be strictly to the standard of life, see that others are also following them. Then our centers will be well managed. Kindly do that and advise your co-workers to do that. Letter to Rupanuga, Tokyo, May 1972. Your idea of recruiting many brahmacharis is nice. We need a class of men purely brahmanas. The whole world is full of sudras. The Krishna conscious movement is meant for reestablishing the system of four varnas and ashrams. There will be progress of civilization. We have got such a nice process that even from the basic sutras we can create brahmanas of our highest caliber. All the residents of our center should see that all the members are strictly observing the minical standards, such as rising early, cleansing at least twice daily, reading profusely, attending Mangalarti like that. You begin immediately the process. That is the main work of the GBC. Sometimes we see that even they do not wash hands after eating. Even after drinking water, we should wash. This is suci. Suci means purest. Everyone should join the Mangalarti. Gradually we should become more regulated and strict for following the rules and regulations. Otherwise we shall fall down. Constantly about not following, we'll be fall down. If we do follow, there will be protection and so many things. Well, here's our last one. Please, this is a letter to Sridham, 1972, Hawaii. Please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated April 26, 1972. I've noted the contents. Always there will be obstacles placed in our path by the demons and the atheists. But if we can remain pure, nothing will be able to stop this great transcendental movement from spreading God consciousness all over the world. So as president, you must make sure. Prabhupada says you can consider, you can think about it. You must make sure that all the students are regularly chanting 16 rounds, taking bath, attending Mangalarti, reading our books, and following the regular principles. If everyone keeps strictly these principles, then success is assured. So this little darshan we had, we want to see that this is circulated. Preacher, make sure it's circulated. I would have given it yesterday, but some of the disciples may be coming, and some guests, and my mood may have been a little bit too intense for them. You guys know that this is my mood, you know, in and out like this, so it's no problem. But we think that better some of them hear it on the tape, and they can hear it again and again, and maybe be able to penetrate the points. But we want that message to go out, that it's very important that devotees are able to embrace these basic things that Prabhupada has given us. See, we just had a GBC meeting. I wasn't there, but I just got the report yesterday. The major focus of the meeting was on the restructuring of the movement. And it was so much confusion, so much chaos, it just had to be tabled. And so, you know, this is going to weaken people's faith. And I'm telling you, a lot of it has to do with people who are in those positions and are not following. And Prabhupada said that at least two times himself. The issue was going on, and Prabhupada said, it's because they're not chanting 16 rounds, because they're not following. And it means in all of our cases, some of the issues that are there with us is because we're not following. And so we apologize if some of you felt a little pressured by this. Because if you felt pressured, then that's good. But see it as a pressure of love rather than just a matter of, you know, we're not in prison, we're not, in boot camp. But we are trying to get out of here. And as we're trying to get out of here, we're trying to keep imbibing the direction and the culture that will help us out. And so we're not being fanatical. We're not just generalizing. We realize people have different situations. We've explained that. And you know your own cases. As you raise your hands, certain things are happening based on you not chanting your rounds in the morning or chanting consolidated rounds. When you're not going to work, or you're not having the children, or you're not definitely very ill that time, that day, where you're just, you know, bedridden, etc. So, since we're expecting most of us who are not in those categories to come for program, and it's going to be a little while, because some of you, we're so unregulated, that even trying to take rest at 9 or 10 o'clock is going to be difficult for a while. Because you're so used to not going. And so the body has to take us a while before it will adjust. You know, we're so used to, you know, taking rest at 11 or 12, finding things to do. And then when we can take rest early, we're not tired. And then we miss those most important hours where the body rejuvenates itself the most. We take now 8 hours, but we don't even get the benefit of 6 hours. We take 8 hours at a later time, it's more like 5 hours. And, you know, we're not working night shifts, most of you. Like when some of you have that experience where you work night shift, or like someone like Madhavacharya or Chaitis case, Madhavacharya in Washington, with, you know, they're doctors. And so they have these, you know, these heavy hours. But it's rough when it's like that. You can sleep more later, but still your body don't feel the same because, you know, it's gotten out of its patterns, rhythm. And so if we don't have that, we have no excuse why not to try to get the body more in a rhythm, where we can take rest earlier, take more benefit, come Mangalarti, chant our rounds, and then we have the rest of our day to do other things or to take a little rest or whatever has to be done. Now, anyone need any clarification in the next 10 minutes or so? Yes.
Gurudev, I want to thank you for reminding us of the essence of what Krishna consciousness is all about. And especially for myself, I want to apologize to all the devotees because I'm one of those persons that I know is very negligent in being regulated and being attentive to the morning program. But I also wanted to, on behalf of some of the other devotees that I know, I guess an example that comes to mind is Radharadya Prabhu and Bali, who are up every couple of hours trying to take care of the stove, or sometimes, you know, Ekavir is here till late at night trying to take care of the stove or chop wood or whatever. This is a farm. It's not like being in a city where everything is just available. So I was wondering, since this is a kind of a unilateral instruction, how should those devotees take this instruction?
Should take it as primary, other things as secondary. So that means we have to manage better where we don't have to put wood in every 2 hours. So whatever has to be done, so we don't have to put wood in every 2 hours, which is a mismanagement, then that's what we should do. You say, well, that's finance. Prabhupada said, if we focus on these primary things, the other things will fall in place. So imagine we can talk about that to find out what has to be done so that we don't have to have every 2 hours having to have some money up.
For clarity, because, yes, I do appreciate that probably something could be done with the stove, and probably it does, like you said, require finance. And I guess we are coming to the end of the winter, so it's not like a long period of time. But in a practical sense, probably nothing will be able to be done about it in the next, you know, few days. And these devotees do have to do that in the next couple of days. So, you know, just for their own clarity.
So for their clarity, yes, Bonnie?
Sometimes I say that for an excuse, and then in reality, I really couldn't make the class or other things. So I like to apologize for times when loading the stove at night can get pretty rough. But then, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's an excuse. Sometimes I'll be laying up there as well. I could take a rest now because I load the stove all up, and I could be. I appreciate the pressure because I miss not getting japa in during japa period. I can feel the difference in my I can feel the difference in
your consciousness.
Yeah, consciousness. But then I realized too a lot of situations lying. My mind is lying to me, you know, telling me that, you don't have to go to class because you got to dump the trash, and the trash could be dumped after class.
Could be done later. Yeah, see, we all have this tendency that when we've accepted a certain standard, then we just adjust, we move with that standard. We accepted a standard that is not so important. And so some things that we genuinely can do later, could have done earlier, could have done a later time, we just don't do it because it's not a real priority for us. And so that is often more the fact than other things. We know that there are circumstances when the exception is there. And we're saying, yeah, the exception is going to be there. But our mindset should be that I'm following these. And then when the exception comes. Not that I don't follow this, and then sometimes I do. And where there's an issue where, like if, you know, it is a serious issue about the 2 hours, then we have to do as Bhaktivinoda told us. We look at what's primary, and then we back from there. We adjust things based on that. Now that we look at what is secondary, and then we adjust things around that. Now that because this is an issue of where we have to look closer at the heating system, and then we jeopardize our eternal nourishment based on that. It's a reality that, yes, the heating problem is there. But we start from the primary, and then we work to the secondary. Not the secondary, and then back to the primary. So Krishna will see what is our primary. He's going to respond, you know, based on that. Anyone else? Mother Yasoda, if you didn't have three kids, and you would be here on a regular basis, wouldn't you?
Mangalati should have been.
Yes.
I cannot tell a lie. Actually, it's amazing, but it's still Krishna. I was just thinking this morning, that, you know, everything that you said exactly, and I want to thank you also for the swift kick in the behind, which is what, you know, we all need at some point or another. That even with an excuse of three children and everything else, the regulation still can be there. And I've noticed that this month has been bad for me, getting up early. But I know when I do get up, I give myself a time to get up at 5 o'clock. We have Mangal Arati every day if we're not coming to the temple. And the consciousness is so much better. You know, it's just so much more peaceful in the household. So even as a householder, you know, not being able to make it to the morning program, if the regulation is there, then life becomes so much more easier, much more peaceful, much more clearer. So, like you said, sometimes we get into these cycles that are not so good for us, and being able to shake out of them and get back to what we know does work, you know, we need that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And it encourages those who have more difficulty in trying to do this, when those who are able to do it are actually doing it more.
I was thinking it would be nice if even like the devotees who have children, if we could agree to just like once a week try to come and bring the kids, and I think that would be very nice, even, you know, once every 2 weeks or something like that, and that would be very nice.
I think the devotees who have kids should talk that out amongst themselves and see how feasible that is. I think it's a good idea. You talk it out amongst yourselves, and then you try to align yourself with, you know, what you agree on. Anyone else? This way is not bringing the kids so much where they're not getting rest. You're adjusting it to that way that they can do it once a week or once every other week. It's interesting. Any last points? Yeah, our children, we'll end with that. You know, our children should be encouraged. There should be boundaries. But they should not be forced. And they should be guided, mainly by our own examples, so that it's clear to them, you know, what a higher standard or what is best. And they should be given so much love, they can also be given chastisement. When anyone chastising a child who doesn't give the kid love, they shouldn't be involved. But as family members and community members are giving love, then they have right to also to try to correct them in various ways. Most important, by their own examples. And then we won't have to look back later and wonder, you know, what happened to our children. We put so much into them in the early ages, and then you see that they rejected the process. And it'll be like some of the Amish kids who they're allowed to go at a certain age, but most of them, they come back even once they go out. Because when they go out, they realize more how much they have. They get housed, they get facility, they get grants, they get from each other, they get support. When they get out there and they see how difficult it is, then they realize even more what they have. So some of our kids later deviate, but then they look back and see how much they were cared for, were encouraged, but guided with certain boundaries. Then they will save us even. Okay, maybe we will stop there. So if you felt disturbed by what I was saying, then you're the one who need to hear it the most. And what I said, you can even throw it out, but let's just look at what Prabhupada said and try to take it more serious. And I hate to talk like this because, you know, it's a little heavy. I don't like to give this kind of class, even though I give them a lot these days. It's not easy for me to give this kind of class when I know that it touches people's buttons, or to speak about some of the issues that's going on in our movement. But I see that there's, you know, people in high places who miss some of these basic things, and they become an embarrassment. And then later, so much pain is there, the effects of what it sends throughout the whole movement. And a lot of it has to do sometimes with just minimizing certain things with themselves or with their dependents. As we minimize things with you, then it also weakens our own spiritual credits and spiritual strength. Just like by what I said today, I'm stronger. Whether you accept it or not, what I've said today, because I just repeated what my spiritual master has given. Now, if only a few people change,
you know. And but what I said today, at least for now, I'm stronger. I'll be weaker because you're connected with me as disciples in most cases. And so that'll be effect. But just by what I said today, by giving you more love, by giving you more direction about what is best for you, what can protect you more, then I'm stronger. And the environment has intensified. Some Maya has flown out the window just by such. And we have to just have more faith in Krishna. If we have more faith in Krishna, then we just do what Krishna says. Be practical, do what Krishna says. And what's the worst thing? So, let somebody die on the floor in Malarti. It'd be wonderful. I'd love to die on the floor. Doing it in Ramamurti hour, huh? You just come and just die on the floor. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Mother Indrani? Down the most auspicious time, you know. Mangalarti, deities are there. Mangalarti is going on. So, okay. They're gone. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. See, there'll be a time when we really wish we could have come. You see. You start getting older, more sick, and more other problems. There'll be a time when I wish I could just, you know, get up and put my clothes on and just go over there and see the deities. And we really won't be able to do it. Now it's getting already difficult, but there'll be a time when we really won't be able to do it. So now we take advantage of it as much as possible. Jai. ISKCON founder Chad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiruvaki, B.C. Radha Damodar Ki, Vaishnava Dukor Ki, Hare Krishna.